and I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fife of the Fremantle Football Club.
Shade from the mound. Needs to be in perfect.
Hello all, welcome back to another isolation episode of the Centre Square podcast on Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. Great to be alongside Ethan Roth, who has joined me on the phone once again. G'day, Ethan.
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian, and g'day to our listeners, wherever you might be tuning in from.
Yeah, of course, we've had some big news through the last week or so, and we've dropped our big parody on YouTube. I'll let you talk about more about that, Ethan.
Yeah, check it out. It's got a bit of publicity so far. I think 500 views is up to, and we've got shared on a few of the big AFL Instagram pages. So, more to come. Already got some plans. So, hopefully it's upwards and onwards from here with them.
Yeah, indeed. And obviously, coronavirus in Australia is almost coming to a bit of an end. It's definitely...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's definitely dying down. But the last couple of days, the NRL have said that their season will resume on the 28th of May and they can start training from the 4th of May. So hopefully that's good signs for AFL.
Yeah, it was a bit shorter than I expected. I thought, because, you know, they're always saying, oh, we can't confirm a date, but the NRL have been quick to jump on when they're going to start again, and hopefully the AFL can soon follow, whether that's hubs or whether that's, you know, there's heaps of different concepts and ways that people have been talking about to potentially just get the season in.
Yeah, and I'll also just put it in there. The NRL have a New Zealand team as well, so I was quite surprised at how early they've come to with a date, as, you know, travel bans between Australia and New Zealand might be a bit hard for the New Zealand team. So I would have thought AFL would have been quick on that. But, of course, there's been a bit of other news with the Western Bulldogs. You can touch on that.
Yeah, so Western Bulldogs, obviously, Lachie Hunter, been a bit of a controversy. He was drink driving and then crashed into four cars in a car park. And I think Bailey Smith was involved as well. I think the thing that didn't really help Lachie Hunter was that he kind of ran away at the start and didn't, I suppose, own up to his what he did, which doesn't help. And then, he's been stripped. I think he stripped himself of the vice captaincy, actually. He's been banned four games and then got a $5,000 fine from the club and I think $15,000 fine from the government. So, not good.
Two-game suspension. I think it was two-game suspension as well.
Yeah, and also Tyson Stengel from the Adelaide Crows, former Richmond player, also was in a similar sort of incident. Obviously, you can't comment too much. We don't know the full details, but not good for both of those clubs. And Lachie Hunter surprised me, though, because he doesn't seem like the type that would sort of do that. I know.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like he's a nice, from what I can see and what I've heard, he's a nice guy, and I'm sure he'll probably learn from it. It's just a big mistake.
Indeed. Well, that's just going to wrap up that first little bit there, but not too long. We'll introduce our special guest.
Yes, welcome back to the Centre Square podcast on Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. As Dre mentioned before, we have our special guest. We have been in contact with, and he's been good enough to take our call. So pick 21 in the 2010 AFL National Draft, played 12 games to Sydney, 10 games to GWS, 44 games to Carlton, making a total of 66 games, kicking 43 goals from 2011 to 2018, spending most of his time in the midfield and up forward. It's Jed Lamb, who joins us over from Melbourne. Jed, thanks very much for your time. Greatly appreciated. How are you?
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm going very well, thanks. Bit bored at the moment with this isolation, but I'm hanging in there and still work at the moment, so I'm pretty lucky, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get straight into it. Tell us about your early days growing up in Victoria. We understand you had a bit of a hard upbringing, so tell us about that as much as you feel comfortable to do so, as well as your first memories that involve footy?
Yeah, so I grew up in a little town called Toowong, down in South Gippsland. I'm one of eight. I have five sisters and two brothers. So, yeah, grew up just playing footy locally down there until about grade six, when I then moved to Yarram and started playing for the Yarram Demons. Life as a kid was pretty enjoyable. I grew up on a big horse farm, trained horses there with my older siblings. At the time, I was a bit younger, so didn't have a whole heap to do with it. And then obviously moved to Yarram, and that's sort of when footy kick-started for me, playing for the Yarram Demons. I started playing seniors at a fairly young age, and obviously was recognised by some recruiters. But yeah, it's been pretty well publicised, a bit about my upbringing. Obviously, my mum and dad weren't together at the time, but my dad was brutally murdered by his best mate at the time, Michael Willis. So I was about five and a half, six at the time. And I've said all along, I'm not glad it happened, but I'm sort of grateful it happened at such a young age for me, as my siblings were a bit older and understood what was going on a bit more. But yeah, so I've just sort of had my mum as my father figure for the last 22 years. She's been very supportive. So yeah, it was pretty tough upbringing. You sort of think it's never going to happen to you. And then, yeah, got home one day from school and had the police and stuff there to tell us. But at the time, I was a bit younger to understand what was going on. I still have a few memories and stuff about the day. But yeah, so Dad's, the guy who killed Dad, actually, he got, I think it was 16 years at the time. And yeah, sort of, there's a bit of publicity when I was first drafted and playing my first game and stuff. There was actually a bit of media surrounding my first game. I'm not sure who the article was by, but they actually did a story saying that Dad's killer was getting out the same day I was debuting, which was no truth behind that. So I still remember that to this day. I'm not sure who did the article, to be honest. But yeah, I'm sort of a bit of a tough upbringing, but there's always someone worse off than you. Yeah, had great siblings and my mum to support me through it all. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah, well, were you always talented at the game, or did you, and when did you know, or realise you were good enough to play at the high level?
I sort of knew I was pretty handy at a younger age. Myself and my brother, we played in the Yarram Grand Final. I was 14, he was 15. So, yeah, to sort of play seniors at that age was a pretty good achievement. Mm-hmm. Things probably didn't get too serious for me until bottom age 18s. I started playing off the halfback flank. Damien Carroll was a coach at the time, who's now at Box Hill and gone on to Hawthorn. I was playing off the halfback flank. I hadn't played too well. I think it might have been round five. We played Ballarat up there. And John Butcher got sent off for swearing at the umpire. So they sent me to full forward for the second half. I think I ended up kicking six goals and nearly won us the game. And for there, they sort of left me there. I ended up coming second in the goal kicking from there, and that's sort of where my career took off. And then I actually remember getting my trophy at the end of the year for the goal kicking award, and Damien Carroll and Peter Francis, the regional manager at the time, actually said if it wasn't for John Butcher getting sent off, I would have been playing for Yarram the following week. So, yeah, things sort of happened for a reason. I'm glad it sort of went that way, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. A bit of a blessing in disguise. You played at Gippsland Power in the TAC Cup or TAC Cup. For people who may not know, who did you play alongside in that team, and getting taken quite high at pick 21 in the draft? Were you surprised by this? And when did you get an indication that Sydney were pretty keen?
Yeah, we made the grand final that year. We actually got beaten by about 10 goals in the end, but captain was Dyson Heppel, who's gone on to have an unbelievable career. Dean McDonald ended up getting drafted to Richmond. Anthony Tippenwoody, he played with us. He's obviously now at Essendon, a superstar. Who else we have? Obviously, we had a few players the year before. Nathan Vardy, John Butcher, Kobe Stevens. So there was some good young talent around. And I was actually pretty lucky. With all the publicity and stuff leading up to the draft, I sort of do a mock draft, and I I actually interviewed with every club at draft camp, and a few of the clubs gave me an indication I'd be going pretty early, but if I was still there, they'd be pretty keen. Probably wasn't until a couple of days before the draft I'd met with most of the clubs, but Sydney actually come down to my hometown of Yarram and took the family for lunch and stuff. And then on the day of the draft, my manager, who I'd signed with at the start of the year, told me that it'd either be pick 19 to Hawthorn or pick 21 to Sydney. And Fremantle had pick 20, actually. So I think Hawthorn would be pretty happy with who they took. They ended up taking Isaac Smith, who's ended up being a superstar. I think Fremantle took Jaden Pitt at 20, and then myself, I was drafted the Swans at 21.
Yeah.
Moving over to Sydney, how was the transition and who'd you live with and how was your first pre-season like?
It was a real opener. Obviously, from a small town of Yarram, people drive tractors and stuff down the main street. There's about 1,500 people and I was drafted. The night of the draft, I actually left the pub really upset, telling Mum I wasn't going to go because I didn't want to go away from my family and stuff. And she said, "Don't be stupid, get your ass back down the pub and celebrate." And obviously, ended up moving and I had about 5 days to pack my stuff and be up in Sydney. So it was a huge eye-opener. I first moved in with Nick Smith and Sam Reed. So I lived with them for probably a year and a half, 2 years. And it was really hard, to be honest. It took me a fair while to settle in. I remember I come home a couple of times when we had a weekend off and I went to watch my local club, Yarram. And when it was time to leave to go to the airport, there's actually one time that stands out. I actually had to ring Reece Shaw, who I was really close with and got along with. And I rang him and I was upset and I said, "Mate, I can't come back. Like, I don't want to leave Yarram again." And he said, "Look, mate, I'll give Horse a buzz." So a few minutes later, I had Johnny Longmire calling me and he just said, "Look, mate, I know it's hard, but you know what the right thing to do is. And once you get back up here, we'll sort stuff out when you can go home and stuff." So yeah, obviously made the venture back to Sydney. But once I settled in, mate, I loved it. I actually loved the lifestyle, settling really well. I was living pretty close to Coogee at the time, so always down the beaches and stuff at the weekend. First pre-season, also a real opener. I was always pretty lucky. I had a lot of talent, but I probably wasn't till further on in my career I realised how hard and stuff I had to work. And when people have asked me any regrets, one thing I always tell them is I probably just thought it was going to happen. I'd pick 21, highly talented, had a couple of good years in the under-18 TAC Cup and just thought, look, I'm going to go on to play 200 games, be successful, have a good career and play lots of senior footy. And that wasn't to be. I started pretty well, to be honest. I think it might have been round four. I flew to Perth as an emergency. So I think that previous week I might have kicked 8 against the Giants in a practice match. So I was pretty close. I flew to Perth as an emergency. Obviously, everyone got through training. So with the emergencies they take, when everyone gets through the training the day before the game, they then fly them back to... I might keep one, but I flew back to play. So I flew back to Melbourne and then got a flight to Canberra and played reserves there. And then the following week at training, I ended up doing my hammy and missing a fair chunk of footy that year. So yeah, obviously things happen for a reason. And then from there, to be honest, I was probably just a bit complacent for a couple of years, just thinking it was going to happen. And it actually wasn't until my third pre-season I got offered, well, the whole playing group got offered to go on a trip to Miami there in Burma on a cycling trip with Ryan O'Keefe and Jared Crouch. They had a bit of a charity fundraising thing called Premiership Quarter. So myself and Alex Brown, who was a player at the time, we went along and other sort of people from outside the footy club could pay and come along with us. Along the way, we donated heaps of stuff to orphanages and rode through Asia for, I think it might have been 10 days, doing about 100K a day. And it got pretty tough. It was really warm and quite hilly, but it was just a real eye-opener for me. And that was the first time I'd been out of Australia and just to see what they cope with day in, day out, and they're still really happy. So I just thought it'd be good. Myself and Jared Crouch sat down and said it'd be a good eye-opener and you'd appreciate things a lot more. And it really helped me. I come back super fit. I was working my backside off and I ended up playing 12 games that year for the Swans. And that's sort of, yeah, where I started playing some regular senior footy.
Yeah. So even though it was on your second year at the club, was it hard watching the 2012 Premiership, knowing that you weren't exactly part of it on the field?
It was hard. I wouldn't say it was hard to watch, more probably a bit jealous of the boys being out there and not being out there with them. But it was, yeah, it was a great week for the footy club. Obviously, most people in my position that sit on the sideline to at the footy club would have been a bit jealous and awe of the blokes out there. But yeah, it was a great week for the footy club, and yeah, it was something I'll remember forever.
Yeah, you made your debut round 6, 2013. You touched on before about that article on the day of your debut. What can you remember from the game itself?
Well, back then they had the sub rule in, so I actually didn't come on till a few minutes into the first quarter, to the last quarter, sorry. I remember Jonathan Brown, we played Brisbane, Jonathan Brown actually put me on my ass on the wing. And then I do remember my first touch being on the wing. I think I forget who I kicked it to, but it set up a goal. I think I had about 6 or 7 touches and did pretty well for my first quarter. But yeah, I just remember the build-up. It was so exciting. I remember leading up to it during the week, there was a few injury clouds and I kept pestering John Longwy saying, well, am I a chance? And he came up to me on the Thursday and he said, oh, do you reckon you're ready to play AFL? And I said, just give me a game, mate. And he said, I'll give you a buzz tomorrow because they're waiting on a few people. So the next day I actually went to the club really early. I was just hanging around his office and he was sort of making a joke like, geez, you're in here early, what are you doing? And then he goes, yeah, come in, mate, you're going to play your first game. So just a really good build. I had a few of the family members fly up and, yeah, it was just sort of a reward for hard effort, not only for me, but for my family and stuff to be able to sit there and watch me as well.
Yeah, it would have been pretty special for sure. So it gets to the end of 2013. You decide to leave the Swans and sign with Crosstown Rivals GWS. What was behind this? How long prior did you make this decision? And was it simply just a better deal with some potential better opportunity?
Yeah, so I got offered 2 extra years at the start of that year by the Swans. And I just sort of, as most people do, said I'll hold off and see how my year goes and see how things pan out. And I was obviously keen to stay there. I love the footy club and still do. They were unbelievable to me. And I remember being back home at the end of the year after the footy season finished and my manager at the time was telling me how Buddy Franklin had just pretty much signed with the Giants and there was media going mental saying he's just signed. And then a day later it came out they'd signed with the Swans. And I hadn't really proven myself to the Swans. I'd only played a handful of games, but the contract they were offering me wasn't as much as I would have liked. But then again, I hadn't proven myself. I was probably asking for too much, but then it sort of made sense because they couldn't give any more because obviously the big deal that Buddy had signed. And then, yeah, it all went pretty quick from there. Next sort of couple of days, the Giants were in contact with my manager and, yeah, just sort of offered me a contract I couldn't knock back. And I remember meeting with Leon Cameron. He just sort of said, like, you've been playing really good footy at a, like, really successful footy club. Like, if you're fit, not injured, you'll be playing every week. And that was sort of an opportunity I couldn't knock back. So it was really tough having to tell the Swans that I was leaving. But, yeah, I still love the footy club and have great memories from there.
Yeah, you'd be only one of the only ones to play for both Sydney teams. Is that right?
Yeah, I think myself, Shane Mumford, could possibly be the only 2.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Yeah. So, you spent 2 years at the Giants playing 10 games, I believe. What were your huge memories, you could say, from the 2 years playing there?
It was just very different, to be honest, to the Swans. Obviously, no disrespect to any of the Giants players, but it was just hard going from having sort of really good facilities at the time, at the Swans, to then when I first started at the Giants, we were at Olympic Park, but their facility was getting built, so they were just using like the sports centre and stuff there, and so the ice baths and stuff after training were in bins and stuff. It was just sort of back at local footy, and at the time they were sort of all really young and new to it all, and I'd sort of come from leaders like Adam Good, Jared McVeigh, and superstars of the game to sort of younger leaders who have obviously gone on now to be unbelievable leaders and great players, and Callum Ward and Phil Davis. But it was just a very sort of different feel. I went sort of from an older group to a really younger group. So, yeah, it was sort of hard to adjust to that.
Yeah. Did you think you would play more at the Giants as well?
I did, yeah, absolutely. That was sort of one of the reasons behind going there, mate. I sort of met with Leon and the recruiters, and they sort of said, as I said before, if you're fit, not injured, you play every week. And I know they can't guarantee your games and stuff, but I probably went across there with a bit of a complacent mindset. And, yeah, I remember I was a bit disappointed because leading up to round one, Swans versus Giants, was actually the game the Giants knocked off Swans at Spotless Stadium. It was lightning during the game. Leading up to the game, the Giants actually used me to promote the game, playing against my best mate, Gary Rowan. So there's a big article in the newspaper playing against each other, arch enemies and stuff. And then I actually wasn't picked. So I was sort of a bit embarrassed. Like I'd been used to promote the game and then actually didn't even get selected. I know it was a bit on me myself. I was a bit complacent. Wasn't the fittest I've ever been. But yeah, obviously it was a bit disappointing to only play a handful of games, and I thought I would have definitely played earlier, but it wasn't to be. I think I ended up playing maybe around 5 or 6. Had to stick it out in twos a bit, which was a bit hard, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty understandable for sure. So the end of 2015 comes. Who approached you from the Blues and was signing with them, sort of like a, this could be a third time lucky move, and how rewarding was it kicking your first goal with your first kick in a Blues jumper in round one of 2016?
Yeah, it was my second year at the Giants. I don't know, things weren't going my way and I was getting really frustrated because I was getting told to work on things, and then I'd work on them things, and then you'd go into a review and the coach would be saying, yeah, but what about this now? And it's sort of like, as a player, you're never going to play the perfect game. You're always going to have things to work on. It was getting really frustrating because I was playing really well in the twos, but just wasn't getting a look in. And I remember Leon Cameron, which I really respect for this, he grabbed me my second year. It was round 5 or whatever. And he just sort of said to me, look, how are you going and stuff? He goes, look, I'm going to be honest. Like, if it could be a bit of a tough year for you, like if you're not getting a look in and stuff, like we'll help you at the end of the year and stuff. So, like I knew throughout that year that it was going to be a tough year, but all along I just had to keep playing well to put myself in a good position for the following year. And it wasn't sort of too a bit later in the year where obviously Stephen Silvani, he was the one that sort of got me across from the Swans to the Giants. He obviously had gone to Carlton at that time. So he sort of just said to my manager, what's Jed feeling? Like, does he want to come home? And things obviously weren't going my way, and thought it'd be good time for a change, get back to Victoria and close to the family and stuff. So, one of the best moves I made, I think. I obviously loved my time up in Sydney and stuff, but going from, such a... obviously, Sydney, it's a bit more NRL back when I was there. It's obviously growing the game, but to then come to Melbourne where everything's just so footy-focused and, I can still remember I remember playing that year at the Giants. I was playing in front of empty stadiums at Spotless before the AFL game. And then my first game, I think it was about 90,000 at the MCG. It was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was just pinching myself. And, I still remember I kicked the first goal for Carlton that year. Richard might have had a couple on the board. But, it was unbelievable. Just the roar and the atmosphere was just puts tingles down your spine.
Yeah, of course. Now, something that everyone remembers from 2017 is the Bashar Hooley incident, getting hit off the ball. How much of a shock or a scare was it? And do you think he got the right punishment? Because a lot of people think he got off a bit.
I think I'm remembered for a couple of things, them being one and the other for not being the best footballer. But I always, when I'm seeing people in the street love footy and stuff, they always ask, you know, are you the guy that got knocked out by Bashar Hooley? Yeah, that's me, mate. But at the time, obviously I was out cold, so didn't remember much, but it is very scary. I remember I was down in the rooms and I was telling the club doctor and physio and stuff to ring my mum to come down, but they ended up ringing my mum and she was actually back home working in Yarram. And then I was telling them, I'll ring my partner, and they tried to ring my partner and she was like, I'm at dance school, like I'm I'm not at the game. So I was just losing it. I had my sister down there with me and she was really upset. Like, geez, I thought you were dead and stuff. And then I just sort of had a few headaches during the week and stuff and just didn't feel right. So obviously missed 1 week. But, I mean, Basher's a really nice guy and he apologised to me after the game and stuff. But I know he didn't mean to intentionally KO me or hit me where he did. He obviously swung his arm out. So he ran the roost. But, yeah, I was obviously disappointed when it came out that he only got a 1 or 2 games to start with. And the footy club, Carlton, were really disappointed. So they rang me straight away and saying, just like, we got your back. Like, we're not going to let this get swept under the carpet. So they went pretty hard at it. And then obviously it went straight to the tribunal. But I have no hard feelings. I don't know if he's a contact sport. And it would have been a bit different if he was looking at me and cowardly hit me and knocked me out. But from all reports and everyone I know says he's the nicest guy and he apologised to me after the game. So I got no harsh feelings.
Yeah, of course. So you played a bit, you're a bit of a handy footballer at the Blues, but obviously your career was mainly at the Blues. Do you feel like you were used in the right position? Or did you feel like you could have added more in a different spot on the ground? And what would you say were your key strengths?
Early days, I was sort of pigeonholed as a small forward. And I feel like being a small forward these days is one of the hardest roles in footy. You got to be sort of get up and then rip back and beat everyone back to goal. And you got to be super fit and stuff. And I was super fit, but it was just hard sometimes, sort of played out of position, the ball would go over your head, or you sort of play that dummy role or just play your role that the team loves. And it probably wasn't until probably my last year with them, second half of the year, I started playing off the half back, which I grew up playing all my football. And I actually started playing some really reasonable football, I thought. My last year was actually the most amount of games I'd played in a year in 8 years, so... I thought I started stringing some really good games together and obviously disappointed how it all ended. But I feel like, probably half back was probably one of my better positions, although I didn't play a lot of games there. I feel like my foot skills and reading the ball was one of my strengths. So.
Yeah. So you got delisted at the end of 2018. How was that and who told you, did you know it was coming at the time?
No, well, a lot of people probably don't know, but throughout the year, my manager and the footy club were talking and all along I was going to be fine. They're just trying to sort through a few things. So I was under the impression that I was fine. So I had no stress. I was playing really good footy at the time. Good enough to keep me playing each week in the seniors anyway. I got called into the club in the off season and I was thinking, I'm going to go in here and sign a new contract, probably 1 year or whatever. I knew I wouldn't probably get two, but so I went in there and Bolts and Sauce, gave them the news that they were going to delist me, but invite me back for pre-season like training to try it for a rookie spot. When I walked out of there, I was pretty gobsmacked, to be honest. I still remember calling my partners, like, I can't believe that. Like, I thought I was going in there to continue my career, but it's just sort of been hit on the head. I ended up getting invited back for a rookie spot. So I wasn't going to at the time. I was really disappointed. I was thinking, oh, should I even bother, like, all the hard work, like, and I thought to myself, well, if I don't go back, I'm going to have regrets and think what could have been. So end up getting myself super fit, probably the fittest I'd been. Probably each year I was at Carlton, I felt like I was getting fitter and fitter. And if you were to ask people, I would say I worked really hard, just kept trying to improve my game. So I ended up going back, ran PBs, was training super good. I remember one of the weeks I won trainer of the week and stuff. They obviously had a Tommy Bug also training on and I got told it was going to be between myself and Tommy Bug. They ended up choosing Tommy Bug he then quit 3 weeks later. And I was super angry because I remember at the time Tommy Bug didn't come back in good shape. And I remember one time Paddy Cripps and Doherty actually had a meeting with Buggy saying, like, you got to get fitter and get your body in good shape. Meanwhile, I'm busting my ass. I'm running PBs and stuff. But I think they just wanted to bring someone new into the footy club. But then, yeah, when I read that Tommy Buggy quit, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how can that happen? That's my spot. He's just giving it away where I've been scratching and doing everything in my powers to sort of stay on the list. So it took me a while to get over that. And yeah, I was really disappointed, upset. I hit pretty hard, but just to realise that my dream was over. But yeah, I guess not much I could have done, to be honest.
Yeah. And just a bit of a two-part question to finish off before the Q&A is, so you're 27 now. Does it annoy you that this is the age you, I guess, most players are in the prime of their career? And tell us how isolation is treating you. Does it affect your work? And because I've seen on your Instagram, your guitar, your singing. So tell us about that and your interest during lockdown.
Yeah, probably it is frustrating. Since I've sort of left the game, I don't watch a lot of footy, to be honest. I don't know why. I used to love it growing up. But it is frustrating knowing that just the sort of way it ended. Just the fact that I kept getting better and better and improving my game, I kept coming back fitter and fitter. And then I sort of moved to a half back where I started playing some decent footy, and all along being told it was going to be fine. To then have it cut short was, just really disappointing. It hit pretty hard, to be honest. But isolation's going well, mate. I got a full-time job now with John Holland on the railway with the overhead crew. So we're still working. We haven't been shut down and work's going really well. I really enjoy work with a really good crew. It was sort of hard to sort of make the transition coming straight out of school into footy and then into construction. Sort of had no idea what I was doing, which I still sort of don't, but slowly learning along the way, mate. And just trying to keep myself busy. Don't mind strumming the guitar here and there. So put up a couple of videos for a bit of a piss take here and there on Instagram, but I actually don't mind playing it when a bit of downtime. But yeah, I'm healthy and fit, mate, so I can't complain.
Yeah, indeed. We'll start off with the Instagram Q&As. Thanks to everyone for sending them in. But first one from Griff Alabifo, I believe it is. How does it feel playing alongside greats such as Patrick Cripps and now Billy Nolder? Much difference, I think it is. Nolder?
Billy Nolder, yes. I played with him down in Bendigo. Both have their special qualities. Obviously, Paddy Cripps is absolute superstar and not many players out there like him. And there's obviously not many players also like Billy Nolder who pretty much plays football games in his runners. So both got different attributes.
Yeah. And just speaking on teammates, who are your best mates of the three clubs and like the ones you keep in contact with and any funny stories, nicknames that stand out you could share?
So my closest mate is probably Gary Rowing. I was in his wedding party. Got in trouble from the club one time. Gary obviously broke his leg at the Swans and I offered him to move in with me, so I looked after him for a while. So we become really good mates. And I was also living with Tim Membry and Tom Walsh at the time and Jakey Lloyd. And one of Tim Membry's mates bought a tattoo gun up and we ended up tattooing each other's foot. So Gary Rowan's actually got Lammy written across the top of his foot. I've got Jake Lloyd and Tim Membry's initials on my foot really big. Just a lot of crappy tattoos got done that night. And I remember getting to the club, they weren't too happy because I'm pretty sure we were using the same needle and had no idea what we're doing.
Yeah. So this next one is from Ipso Facto Flapso. Sorry if I pronounce it wrong. They say, you seem so resilient. Any tips for staying focused through tough times?
Yeah, I think what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But as I said earlier on the phone, there's always someone worse off than you. And I've had a lot of sort of negative things throughout my career and my upbringing. But I think as a human and stuff, you have choices and your actions determine where your sort of life takes you. So if you choose the right option and right things to do, you can do put your mind to it. You're pretty powerful people, so you can achieve whatever you want. So just making sure you choose the right options, I guess.
Yep. Next one from AFL_2020 News. or any highlights from all three clubs during your time there?
Yeah, probably couldn't go past my debut game. Obviously, you sort of grow up just wanting to play 100 AFL games, let alone one. So just a build-up, getting told I was playing, having my family and stuff there. And probably my first day as well, just walking down to the club, into the rooms, and having blokes like Adam Goode, Ryan O'Keefe, Jared McVeigh, Ty Connelly sitting around, and you're sort of pinching yourself, thinking, like, is this real? I've been watching them my whole life growing up, and now I'm sort of training with them. It was very surreal, so probably those.
Yeah. This one comes from Ace Nathan. Favourite player you played on?
Played on? James Sicily.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. You got into a bit of a scuffle there, one of the games.
I did. Actually, funny story, we've got time. A couple of weeks later, I actually took my partner for dinner at this restaurant in St Kilda called Itchy Knee. We're sitting inside, and on the outside table, just outside our window, leaning against our glass on the other side, was another table. And it was a table for four, and there's a couple waiting for two other people. And then a couple of minutes, James Sicily walks in with his girlfriend, and the bloke wouldn't even look at me.
Next question from T Dobay, I believe it is. Who are you playing footy for in 2020? I assume it says 2021, but and beyond.
So at the moment, I had my first year for White Hills down in the Heathcote Football League down Bendigo last year. I signed with them again this year, but obviously things aren't looking too good. So, obviously, if things don't go to plan, we don't get to play any footy this year. I'll be going back down there for another kick next year, and then. After that, probably look to move a bit closer to Melbourne.
Yeah, we got a few more. This one is from Jared Gard. Who has the best left peg at White Hills?
Probably Billy Norder and his runners. Jared Gard, he's not a bad kick himself. He just needs to probably get a bit fitter. Probably lets himself down in that department.
Next question from Needham Kristen. Who is your number one fan?
You have to be her son William, Willie Boy I call him. So I built up a really good relationship with him. He was a boy I first met when I was at the Swans, who then followed me to the Giants, and then followed me to Carlton. So he had a bit of trouble when he was a bit younger at school with bullies and stuff. So I sort of just checked in on him, gave him a bit of footy gear, and spoke to him on Instagram and stuff. And then one thing led to another. We got a really close bond, and he ended up coming to a few games in Melbourne. I got him down the rooms and stuff, gave him a few pairs of footy boots here and there. And then him and his family come down last year and watched me play for White Hills in the finals. So, yeah, really, really nice family, always really supportive and always really thankful for me helping Willie Boy out a bit, but he's a little superstar, loves his footy and going to be gone.
Yeah, Bray, we'll just do the next three. So this one is from Jay Linderback. Do you like Mars bars?
No, I hate them. I'm actually more of a Snickers guy, to be honest, mate.
Next one, footy polls questions. Which club did you feel like you had the best future at that you played at?
Sydney.
Yeah. And last one, I believe, second last one, Andrew Gallucci. Why did you fall asleep at the game, at the MCG during a game?
I get asked that a lot. Just had a rough night's sleep the night before, and had my puppy Layla at the time was really young, and she kept me up all night barking. So, yeah, just got a bit tired during the first quarter and decided to go for a bit of a snooze on the wing, I believe it was.
Yeah, Bray, do the very last one.
Ryan Brennan Coulthard, I think it is. Do you remember kicking a goal from the back pocket on your first day of school? And do you rate chicken salad and half a burrito of Fonda? Is it true you started calling yourself Shredder at school? And do you remember the Jedi Squad?
Thanks for the question, Ryan. I do remember kicking a few snags from the back pocket, but there probably wasn't just one like I remember. Love my chicken fonda salad with half a burrito. The other half usually goes to my mate Ryan Coulthard. What else did he ask?
Is it true you started calling yourself Shredder at school and you remember the Jedi Squad?
I didn't call myself Shredder. I actually got the nickname Shredder from Nathan Vardy, who's at the West Coast Eagles. I'll tell you why, but it's probably for another time.
Yeah.
And the Jedi Squad, I do remember that. Yes, it was a Facebook group created from my mother-in-law at the time, who loves footy. So she just got a few people to sort of follow and support me on a Facebook page, which I think it no longer exists. I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Yeah, and just one that I've thought of quickly, just before Bray wraps it up, which we usually ask our guests at the end, if you could give one piece of on or off the field advice to someone who's trying to reach that next level in footy, what would it be?
Just something I've probably learnt myself. Probably just don't think it's going to happen, whether you're first picked in the draft or you're the 50th bloke picked. The way you, how hard you work is going to determine how far you're getting. Yeah, just don't get too complacent. So just work really hard and don't just think things are going to happen, because you get a huge shock.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for today. Thanks to Ethan for co-hosting with me once again. And a massive thanks for Jed for coming on. It was great insight and good luck for everything in the future.
No worries. Thanks, fellas. Cheers.
And also all the viewers, listeners out there, make sure to keep up on the Instagram, Facebook. Make sure to follow and also check out the 2020 Corona AFL parody on YouTube that we dropped last week. We've got plenty more content coming up in the next few weeks and a lot of former and current AFL names coming up for the show. But until then, you've been listening to the Centre Square podcast on SportFM 91.3. We hope you've enjoyed the show and enjoy the rest of your day.